Good morning. There is a greeting in the Bible that I love to use where I say, the Lord be with you, and you respond, and also with you. Let's try that. The Lord be with you. And welcome to Murfreesboro Baptist Church as we gather to worship God this morning. We're so glad that you're here. Glad to welcome any guests we may have in our service today. Glad to see folks who are not able to be here regularly who are with us today. Thank you for coming and being a part of our worship. And we also want to welcome those who are joining us by our live stream or our radio broadcast. Thank you for being a part of our worship today. And if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you come and worship with us here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church anytime. Now, there are a number of announcements in the bulletin. I'm not going to read those. You can read those, but just let me mention a few of them. A number of ministry and mission opportunities. One that's not in the bulletin, Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes are now available in the library, and you can pick those up and fill them and bring them back no later than Sunday, November the 12th. And then the Union Missions Clothing Drive, you can see the bulletin for details about that. Remember, we have our annual Trunk or Treat coming up on Sunday, October 29th at 5:30 in the evening. And you can see more details about that in the bulletin as well. Deacons, remember that there's a meeting this Tuesday evening at 6. Next Sunday, we'll have a fellowship lunch after church. The church will provide the meat, but asking that folks bring a vegetable or a casserole or a dessert, and we're looking forward to that time of fellowship around the table. And along with that, we'll also have our annual ministry fair to sign up for ways to serve this church year. Tommy talked about that last Sunday in the announcements. That is a very important opportunity. And I would encourage you to be praying about how God would have you to serve in this church year, the things that He would have you to do and to participate in. There'll be a number of opportunities. Think about the gifts that God has given you or the talents that He has given you and how you can use those in serving Him through the church. We are counting down to our 175th anniversary celebration on Sunday, November the 12th. We encourage you to invite family and friends and former members. There is a letter that's going out, but we want to make sure that everybody gets word about it. So speak to those that you know who have connections with our church in some way or another and invite them to join us for this special day. And remember, we need for you to call or email the church office to let us know how many will be coming so we can prepare adequately for the meals. The flowers today are in memory of former Murfreesboro Baptist Church member and Chowan Professor Charles Paul, given by his family, and we appreciate that very much. Now, as we join together in worship, I invite you to join me in singing our choral call to worship, I Love You, Lord. It's printed in our order of service. Join me in our response from Psalm 19, or based on Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear us from hidden faults. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And so, Father, as we gather to worship you, we offer you our praise and our thanksgiving. O Lord, we ask that you would make your presence known among us in a powerful way. We know that you are present with us, for our Lord Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are there. And so, Father, make that presence known to us as we worship you. Speak to our hearts. Help us to respond in faith and obedience. And in all things, may your name be honored and glorified, and may your church be built up in Christ Jesus. For we pray it in his name. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing hymn number 323.
seated. Let's have all the children come for the children's sermon. Alright. What were you asked to do that you were scared to do?
I don't remember.
You don't remember. What about that you didn't want to do? I'm sure you remember that.
Chores.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people who'd say they've been asked to do chores and they don't want to do chores. But sometimes we get asked to do things we don't want to do and we still have to do them, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get asked to do things that might be scary to do. Well, in the book of Genesis, where's the book of Genesis in the Bible? Old Testament. In the book of Genesis, God asked Abram, and he was still called Abram at that time, to take his family, his wife Sarah, and his nephew Lot, and move to a place that was completely foreign, leave everything they knew and go somewhere else. Do you think Abram was real happy to move?
Probably not,
because he was going somewhere he'd never been. He was probably a little scared, too. But who went with him when he went?
Jesus.
Well, not Jesus, but God went with him, right?
Yeah.
So we can remember that when we're asked to do things we may not want to do, and we still have to do them, or when we're scared, somebody's still going to be with us, right?
Yeah.
And we want to be thankful for that. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we know that you were always with us, even when we're asked to go places or do things that we've never done before. In your Son's name, amen.
Thank you. And our Old Testament lesson is about that passage, that experience that Sarah was talking about with children. From Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land of the place at Shechem to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negeb. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let's join together in prayer. And as we do, one request that we have this morning is for Freddie Bazin, who is not feeling well. And so let's be sure to lift him up in our prayers together. So join me together in prayer now. And we'll close our prayer time by praying together the Lord's Prayer. Gracious and almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you are great, O Lord, and most worthy of praise. You've revealed yourself as one God who exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a mystery beyond our comprehension, which can only be believed, and for which we worship you. With the Apostle Paul, we confess that by God the Son, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him, and that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We thank you, Father, that when we, your creatures, had rebelled against your gracious rule, that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take on human flesh, uniting himself with our humanity that we might be reunited with you through his saving grace. We thank you that he gave his life for us and that he rose victorious over sin and Satan and death, freeing us from our bondage and our guilt and setting us in a right relationship with you. We thank you that he now reigns as our exalted Lord and that through your Spirit you have turned our hearts to trust him and serve him as our Lord. We thank you for his promise to return in glory and to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. And we thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you have blessed us, your human creatures, and provided for our needs and for our nurture. And so just as your word calls us to make our intercessions and petitions known to you with thanksgiving, we come now to offer our prayers for the work of your kingdom in the world and for the church throughout the world and the church here at Murfreesboro. We ask, Father, that you would work to accomplish your purpose, that you would be among us and in us and through us in such a way that this congregation, this local expression of the body of Christ, would be a shining light to the community around us. We pray, Father, for those who are oppressed and persecuted. We think of our Christian brothers and sisters in other lands who cannot serve you without the threat of persecution, some of them even facing martyrdom, and we ask your help and your grace and strength for them. We pray, Father, for those who are suffering the ravages of war, especially in Israel and the Gaza Strip and in Ukraine and in other places as well. We pray for our country and our state and our town, for our civil leaders on all levels, especially in the face of all that's going on in our day. Lord, we pray for those who are sick or injured, for those who may be facing surgery or undergoing treatments or facing chronic illness, for those who are homebound. Lord, we especially remember Freddie this morning and ask your blessings on him. We pray, Lord, for those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones or over other losses. And for those who suffer in other ways, we ask your help for them. We pray, Father, for those Christians who have drifted away, who are backslidden, who are out of fellowship with you and with your church, and ask that you would work in their lives to turn them back to you. We pray, Lord, for those who are lost, those who do not yet know you, and ask that your Spirit would work in their hearts to open them to the good news of Jesus Christ, and that as we share your gospel with them, that they would turn to you. Lord, we lift all these thanksgivings and intercessions to you now. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, is one God now and forever. Hear us now as we gather these prayers and lift our voices as one, praying together that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now would you stand as you're able and join me in singing hymn number 71, Be Thou My Vision. The writer of Hebrews tells us, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." And so we come now to offer our tithes and our offerings to God and to ask His blessings upon them. And so now, Lord, as these tithes and offerings are presented to you, we pray that they would reflect our love and our gratitude for the grace that you have given to us in Jesus Christ, your Son. Accept them, Lord, and use them for your honor and your glory and the work of your kingdom through this congregation. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord. Praise his holy name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate your faithfulness in presenting our worship in song every week. Thank you for being a part of that. Let's pray together. And now, Lord, as we come to look into your word and to reflect on it and to think about what it means for us as your people today, we ask for your wisdom, your guidance, for open ears and open minds and open hearts, that we might receive what you would say to us today in obedience and in faith. We pray now in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Back in January of 2000, some of the leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, wanted to honor Billy Graham. Now, we all remember Billy Graham and the great work that God used him for down through the years. Well, they invited him to come, and at first he was reluctant because at that time he was suffering from Parkinson's disease and didn't feel like he would be really up to it. But they told him, look, we don't expect a major address. Just come and let us honor you. And so he finally agreed to attend. Well, at the luncheon that day, they said many wonderful things about Billy Graham. I mean, how do you not say many wonderful things about Billy Graham? Well, when it came his opportunity to respond, he went to the podium and he spoke and he looked out and he said, I'm reminded today of the great physicist, Albert Einstein, and Time magazine had just named Albert Einstein the man of the century for the 20th century. He said, Einstein was traveling one day from Princeton on a train when the conductor came down the aisle punching the tickets. And he came to Einstein, and Einstein reached in his vest pocket, and he couldn't find his ticket. And so he reached in another pocket, and he couldn't find his ticket. And he looked in his briefcase, and he couldn't find it. And then he looked in the seat by him, and he couldn't find it. And finally, the conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket, so don't worry about it. And Einstein nodded appreciatively. Well, the conductor continued down the aisle punching tickets, and as he was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and he saw the great physicist down on his hands and knees looking up under the seat, trying to find his ticket, and he rushed back to him and he said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. We all know who you are. There's no problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one. And Einstein looked at the conductor and said, young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. Well, that sounds a little bit like Abraham in these scripture lessons that we read this morning, doesn't it? He knew he was going, but he didn't know where he was going. Can you imagine what that was like for Abraham? Here he was, a man who to this point in his life had been a pagan like all the rest of the world around him. We don't know how it happened, but somehow the Lord God had come to him and had told him, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It was a summons that Abram couldn't ignore. His name was Abram then. And it was a promise that he couldn't get out of his mind. So he went. He went and obeyed God. Now, if you could have asked Abram where he was going, he probably would have said something like, well, I really don't know right now, but the Lord will show me when I get there. Now imagine that. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't even have a clue. His destination was completely unknown to him. He just knew that God had called him. And though he didn't know what his destination was, he knew that with God in charge, it was certain. It was certain. And after such a summons and such a promise, he really didn't have a great deal of choice in the matter. He was obeying God. And so he went. And he was 75 years old when he started out on this journey. He took his wife Sarai and his possessions along with his nephew Lot and his stuff, and he went following the Lord by faith, having no earthly idea where the Lord was leading him, only that he would let him know when he got there. In time, Abram and his band made their way from Haran down to Canaan to the area of Shechem, and there the Lord appeared to Abram and promised that he was going to give the land of Canaan to his offspring, to his descendants. And he didn't have any children. But he believed God. And he built an altar there. And he worshiped the Lord. And then he continued to move around for a while in Canaan, gradually moving south. And in time, the Lord would change Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah in conjunction with his promise of a son in their old age. Now something had captured Abraham's heart in all this. Call it a summons, a purpose, even a vision, if you will. All he knew was that God had called him and he had to follow him. Wherever that took him, whatever that meant, he didn't have to know where God was leading him. He was content to know that God was leading him. And just so long as he knew that, he was fine. Now, his faith did waver at times. And sometimes he and Sarah took things into their own hands only to have them backfire, like the time they went down to Egypt during a famine and Abraham was afraid that they were going to kill him so they could take Sarah. So he had her to say that she was his sister. Or when Sarah told Abraham to take her servant Hagar as a second wife to provide the heir that God had promised, Sarah reasoned that they were getting older and older. It had been nearly 15 years now. And maybe this was a way to have that son. A son did come out of that fiasco, but he wasn't the son of promise, and God told them that. And down to this day, even this very week, the results of that decision still haunt that region of the world. But when it was all said and done, the overall trajectory of Abraham's life was that he followed the Lord. He trusted God. God gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac when he was 100 years old and she was 90. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't you like to be raising a baby at 90 and 100? I don't think so. But that's when God gave them Isaac. And when God asked Abraham to give Isaac back to him as a burnt offering, Abraham was willing to do it because that's what God asked him to do. And he almost did it too if God hadn't stopped him at the very last second. According to the broader passage in that text that we read from Hebrews, do you know why Abraham was willing to do that? He believed that God would somehow keep his promise. God had made that promise to him, and God would honor that promise even if it meant bringing Isaac back from the dead. And indeed, later on, we saw God honor a promise by bringing Jesus back from the dead. We look at Abraham's story and we stand amazed. We admire such faith. Think about it. When God called Abraham to go to the land that he would show him, Abraham just simply obeyed and followed God by faith. He left everything to follow the Lord to a destination that was unknown but certain. He simply trusted God and followed him in that faith. And we say to ourselves in our more honest moments, I don't think I could have done that. I don't think I could have done that. But could it be that this is exactly what God wants from us? Could it be that just as with Abraham, God calls us to follow Him wherever He leads us to a destination that's unknown but certain? That's a scary thought, isn't it? Think about it. What if He calls us to where we've never been before? That happens, you know. What if he calls us where we don't want to go? He does that sometimes too. What if he calls us to go through a dark valley? He leads us through those dark valleys more often than we want to think about. What if he calls us away from something or somewhere or someone we love so dearly? He will, you know. It's happened to Joanne and me before when we were called from one church to another. What if he says, as he did to Abraham, come on and follow me. And we say, where, Lord? And he says, just follow me. And we ask, but where we're going, Lord? And he answers, I'll tell you when we get there. Ultimately, isn't that what following God by faith is really all about? To be willing to follow him when we can't see where we're going, when we don't know what the destination is, when, as somebody has put it, all we can see are his footprints in front of us. Have you ever been there? I have more than once. One of the most striking times was about 39 years ago now. I was a young pastor in my next to last semester at Campbell as a student. I'd been pastor of the church we were serving at the time for almost 3 years. Things had gone well. Now, we didn't want to go there when we went because we knew about that church's recent history. And to say that the previous two or three pastorates, that pastor-church relationships had not been good, would have been a vast understatement. I mean, here's how bad it was. People who knew the church told me, you'll be there 90 days, 6 months at the most. After we got there, I would introduce myself as the new pastor in the community, and I would literally get looks of sympathy. And I would have people who would say, I sure hope they treat you better than they treated the last pastor. But you know what? God blessed. And we had 3.5 wonderful years there. We had an excellent relationship with the congregation. They were so supportive of my studies at Campbell. They were so expressive of their love and their appreciation at a time in our lives when we really needed it. And when Joanne and I look back on the places that we've served, the congregations that we've served, it's still one of our favorites. Well, I went out for a walk one Saturday morning. It was close to the end of the semester, and as I was walking, I was praying. And all of a sudden, clear as a bell, God spoke to my heart and said, get ready, I'm going to move you. That's all he said. Now, I'm not one of these that claims to hear audible voices of God. I'm not saying God can't speak that way. Sometimes he does. But there are times that you just know that God is speaking to you. And that was one of those times. And it scared me to death. I didn't even tell Joanne about it to begin with. And later on that day, as we were riding along going somewhere, I told her, and her response was, I don't even want to think about it. But we did, and we prayed about it, and we said, all right, Lord, if that's what you want. And then we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. That was in May. We had a contact from a search committee that fall. It didn't go anywhere. And then, late that fall, we had another contact. God opened the door for another pastorate. At our first meeting with that search committee on the way home, I told Joanne, I think this is it. And it turned out that it was. And I wish I could tell you that everything was wonderful there. But you know what? The almost 4 years that we were there were some of the most challenging and frustrating of my ministry. And frankly, I didn't always handle it well. The church had split about 5 years earlier, and it was still struggling. I was also a student at Southeastern Seminary at a very volatile time when there was a great deal of turmoil, and I was not handling things very well. I was like the little boy that I heard about that his mother told him to sit down and he didn't sit down. And she told him again to sit down and he didn't sit down. And so, as we parents sometimes do, she helped him sit down. And then through clenched teeth, he said, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Well, that's kind of the way I felt. And yet God graciously taught me that following him sometimes means the hard road. I mean, that's how it was with Jesus, isn't it? Think about it. His faithful obedience to the Father, no matter what, led him down the road of being rejected by the religious leaders, forsaken by his disciples, and crucified on Golgotha. And when he told his disciples that that's what was going to happen, do you know what he said to them next? "If any of you want to be my followers, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me." He doesn't tell us beforehand where or how he'll lead us. He just says, "Follow me." Because you see, when God calls, he doesn't always, in fact, he usually doesn't tell us where he's leading us. As with Abram, he demands that we be willing to follow him and be shown the destination on the way. Of all the lessons of the Christian life that we have to learn, one of the most challenging is that genuine faith is the kind of genuine faith that God calls for. It always leads to obedience to him, regardless. Regardless. And here's the kicker. God wants us to be committed to that obedience in advance. You know, the way we want to do it is, "Okay, Lord, tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide if I want to do it." It doesn't work that way. God's way is that he wants us to say, "All right, Lord, the answer is yes. Now you tell me what you want." The answer is yes, before we know what it is that he wants us to do. And that's tough. That's tough because we want God to show us what he wants us to do and then decide whether or not we'll do it. But just as he did with Abraham, he often calls us to follow him to a destination that he hasn't yet shown us. He wants us to follow him step by step, trusting in him, saying, "Yes, Lord," before we even know what it is that he's asking. Now, we may not know what the destination he's leading us to is, but we can be sure that he does, and we can be sure that it's certain, that it's certain. But we have to trust in him. He may lead us to something or into something that we've never even dreamed of, but that he wants to do through us. He may lead us through dark valleys to get us to the place he wants us. And we may question what's going on or how he's leading us, but we can always be sure that even though the destination is unknown, it's going to be certain because God knows what he wants. And he wants us to trust him and follow him faithfully. The destination is unknown to us, but it's certain. And you know what else? Our final destination is certain. That heavenly city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And so, brothers and sisters, don't stop following him now. Keep following Him. Keep trusting Him. We may not know what the destination in this life is, but we can be sure that as we follow God, it is certain. Lord, we pray that You would help us to have the kind of faith that Abraham had. We know, Lord, that he was far from perfect. He messed up many times. He tried to take things into his own hands. And yet, when we look at the overall trajectory of his life, he trusted You. Help us to do the same. Help us, Lord, to be willing to follow You wherever You call us, even when we don't know what the destination is, being sure that You do and that it is certain. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing hymn of invitation number 548 when we all get to heaven. Perhaps God is leading you through something right now, and you don't know where He's leading, but you know He is. But you need to renew that commitment to follow Him by faith. Would you do that this morning? Maybe you've never followed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But as you've heard about Abraham's faith this morning, and as you've heard about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, you're ready to do that, ready to make that commitment today. Would you do that? Now, these commitments you can make right where you're sitting, and I'd encourage you to do that right now. But if you feel the need to come and share them, then we invite you to come. And if you're putting your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to let other people know about it. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. And so we invite you to come for that this morning. Whatever your need is, would you come as we stand and sing number 548?
Thank you.
When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And so, Lord, for what we have shared together in worship this morning, as we've sung your praises, as we've offered our prayers, as we've heard your word read and proclaimed, as we've responded in faith and obedience, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that when we go from this place today, that we would go forward in deeper faith, trusting in you, following Jesus as our Lord. Be with us now, Father. May you use this church for your glory. May it be a beacon to the world around us. May many come to know you as we live our life for you and as we share the good news of the gospel in deed and in word. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for being here and worshiping together today. We pray God's blessings on you as you go. Remember the activities that we talked about earlier this week. They're all in your bulletin, and so take note of those. And now as you go, go following Christ in faith. Go trusting in Him, obedient to Him in all things. And as you go, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.